Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His evil. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth His name. From age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And though this world with devils fills should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith. You know me. I am your brother. I am your servant in Christ. You know me as Radio Shepherd or Radio Reformer, however you want to refer to me. I am so glad to be in studio, and I'm so glad that you're with me. Well, today we're wrapping up our series. We've been beating this dead donkey to death, the dead donkey being Bishop Lobotomized Scales, and we've been looking at his YouTube video, the consecration of Bishop Lafayette Scales. Every time I type in lobotomized, when I'm looking for the video, and I type in consecration of Bishop Lobotomized Scales, it doesn't pop up. I have to type in Lafayette scales. I call him lobotomy scales, but he's really Lafayette scales. What's the difference? Listen, no difference. But YouTube doesn't recognize lobotomized scales, at least not yet. Well, this is broadcast number 12 in this series, and it's been a very interesting broadcast. I've been breaking down the audio, just breaking it down for you, making it plain. And tonight, or today rather, this afternoon, we want to focus on two things that Jay Delano Ellis says. One appears in the, I would say, in the middle of the audio, and the last part at the end. And this has to do with succession. I'm already breaking down succession, but now he doesn't use the term succession. In one instance, he talks about, in the first instance, Jay Delano Ellis talks about the word and says, you are a descendant of Jesus Christ. We want to focus on that word descendant because that is a Roman Catholic lie. That's a Roman Catholic. We are not descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to break that down for you. Then at the end, Jay Delano Ellis gives lobotomy skills. He gives him a parchment with all the names in his genealogy, if you will. So we want to look at this little practice here and show you why it doesn't line up with Scripture. And it's a 15-minute, well, it's almost 16 minutes, 15 minutes, 46 seconds. We've done 12 shows. Today will be the 12th and last show in this series. And let me remind you, saints, that a great many of you have not listened to broadcast number 7 and broadcast number 8. Now, if you, for whatever reason, and I know that Block Talk Radio messed up royally, I did those two shows. Block Talk Radio had them in a black hole somewhere, and I was asking Block Talk Radio, where are the two shows that I did? Where are the two shows that I did? My people are looking for the two shows that I did. And finally, Block Talk Radio found them in the black hole where they put them, and then they put them on the platform. But even though Block Talk Radio put them on the platform, you all out there, my beloved saints of God, you all did not listen to broadcast number 7 and 8 in this series. Well, a great many of you didn't. I can tell because the numbers reflect that. And I worked very hard, so please. And look, not that I worked hard, but that you need to take advantage of the teaching of the forensic analysis contained in broadcast 7 and 8. So don't forget to listen to that. Also, saints, don't forget, if you want the book, Jackass Church Bishops, look, you might know a bishop who needs the book. If you get me the bishop's email address, I will shoot the book over to him. If you have, look, there are two ways in which we can do this. You can, if you have the email addresses to a bunch of bishops, just give me the name and the email address. I'll make sure they get a copy of Jackass Church Bishop. If you're afraid to give it to them yourselves. If you have a mailing address, like for example, I just mailed Lobotomy Scales. I just mailed him this morning a postcard on Jackass Church Bishops, where he can get a copy of Jackass Church Bishops. I just mailed it today. I put it in the mailbox today. It's a big old postcard. These postcards take a 50-cent stamp. That's how big they are. And the lady says, yeah, that's going to take a regular stamp. That's not a little postcard. That's not even a postcard. She said, technically speaking, and she showed me the diagram. She says, look, if it was a postcard needs to be this size, and my postcard is two times the size of that. She said, yeah, and that'll take 50 cents. You got to put a regular stamp on there. So I got his address. I got Lafayette Scales' church address, and I'm sending him a jackass church bishop postcard so that he can get himself a copy of the book. So that for, listen, if he gets it, it's, I sent it today, he should get it since he's in Ohio. He should get it by Friday the latest. I'm waiting to get an email, email request from him on Friday or Saturday. May I please have the book, Jackass Church Bishop? Then once I email him the book, I'm also going to say, look, I did 12 shows on you. 12. Check it out. Check out the... Oh, is he going to be mad? So if you have the mailing address, if you want to help me out, I got 5,000 postcards. Well, I don't have 5,000 anymore. I gave quite a bit this weekend. I gave Friday we gave out quite a bit, Saturday and Sunday. So I must have about 4,500 left. If you have a bishop that is hee-hawing in the pulpit, if you have a bishop that is just acting stupid and asinine in the pulpit with just spouting Roman Catholic gibberish, please send me their name and their mailing address, and I will put in the mail. I will put it in the mail. When you email me their name and their mailing address, when I put in the mail, I'll email you back and I'll tell you the postcard is on the way. And what I did with Lafayette Scales was I sent out 4 postcards to one church. I mailed out because, listen, you know, his wife may get the mail and may put it in the garbage because she may not want him to see the book. So I'm sending a couple. I sent 4 to be specific this morning, 4 postcards to Lafayette, because I'm hoping that his assistant pastor will take one of the cards. That the assistant pastor will get a card. I'm praying that the church janitor will take one of the cards. You know, whoever's handling the mail. So it cost me $2 to send lobotomized scales postcards on Jackass Church Bishops. And so if you have a bishop that you would like for me to send him a postcard, then I'll make the effort to send, write it out, send it, put it in the mail, run to the post office, mail it. This way he can, it'll be up to him to order, to request the book. Or, better yet, I can save a stamp if you can give me your bishop's name and his email address. And I'll get it to him that way. I'll email him the book and knock him off his chair or knock her off her chair. Now, Saints, don't forget, I'm going down to Gainesville, Georgia. I just got another donation of $40 for the Gainesville, Georgia trip because I plan to go down to Jensen Franklin's neighborhood. Plan to go to his neighborhood so that I can give out 5,000 postcards on the book, Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron. If you want that book, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. The Lord has given me many strategies to get the word out. I just need help. I just need people. Look, if you, again, all you have to do is send me the information. I'll mail the postcards. I'll do the emailing of the books. Just get me names and addresses of bishops and leave the rest to me. Leave the rest to me. Let's work for the Lord. Let's see if we can get some of these whacked out bishops turned around. Okay. Now, we're going to be listening to this video / audio for the last time. And today I'm going to wrap it up. And I'm focusing on a word, on one word that J. Delano Ellis makes. States, and it's the word descendant. You are now a descendant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to explain why that is Roman Catholic era. And then once he makes that statement, then we're going to roll the audio all the way to the end, because I want you to see how J. Delano Ellis gives a lobotomized scales. He gives him a parchment, and he starts to rattle off all the names on the parchment. And I want to break that down for you and tell you why that's no good. Also, why he is violating the teachings of the Apostle Paul, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, thank God this is the last time we have to listen to this audio. So let's roll the tape.
Called of God, made an apostle, certified to be a bishop among us, we now join together in anointing you with the chrism, anoint your head, that God might open your understanding. Anoint your ears that you may always be sensitive to hear God. Anoint your great finger, symbol of grasping hold of truth. And we pray and anoint your feet. We pray for your feet. I can't get down there. Somebody just get down there and just anoint his shoes or something. Hallelujah. Walk. Don't knock the shine off of them. Just anoint them. Bishop Scales, thou art called of God. And we believed the recommendation and received the report. We lay hands on you now. We touch your head. We pass on to you apostolic succession, the blessedness that comes with this office. A descendant of Jesus Christ.
Did you hear that? He said, a descendant of Jesus Christ. Let's listen again. I'm going to pull it back a few seconds.
Touch your head. We pass on to you apostolic succession, the blessedness that comes with this office. A descendant of Jesus Christ. And of one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. Hallelujah.
Well, J. Delano Ellis says that this man now is constituted a descendant of Jesus Christ. Well, you cannot be a descendant of Jesus Christ because the Son of God never took on a wife. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, never took on a wife. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, never got married. Never had sexual intimacy. Never produced children. That's what a descendant is. When you use the word descendant, and he didn't say spiritual descendant. He said, you are a descendant of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that there is an apostate Roman Catholic teaching that says that Jesus Christ married Mary Magdalene. We know that. Okay? We know, and in fact, Tom Hanks did a movie about this heresy. And the Christian church was appalled. It was called the Holy Grail. Let me just play this for you. I want you to see. Again, this is Roman Catholic foolishness. And when the book came out, and it was based on a parchment called the Lost Gospel. There's a lost gospel, and the Roman Catholic Church is always coming up with these lost gospels that say atrocious things about Jesus. So there's a lost gospel out there that claims that Jesus had a wife, that wife was Mary Magdalene, and that Jesus had two children. Let's listen as it is being reported on Good Morning America.
This next story is really going to stir up some controversy.
Absolutely. A lot of people will be talking about this. It's a new book making some shocking claims about the life of Jesus Christ. According to the Lost Gospel, Jesus married Mary Magdalene and they had two children. The authors even say they have evidence to back up their claims.
Well, there is no evidence. This is a lie. First, it was one of the lies about Jesus was that he was a bastard child. That he was the child of Mary and Joseph, Mary and another man, and then Joseph, in order to cover up, marries Mary, and he takes on the raising of Mary's bastard child. This was thrown in Jesus' face. The religious leaders of his days said, you know, the rumor out on the street is you're a bastard. So he there's been stories about Jesus that he is illegitimate offspring. Then there were other rumors about Jesus that him and John were engaged in a homosexual affair. That's right, John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, him and Jesus were homosexual lovers. That's another lie. Another lie based on another false gospel. Now, this is another one, that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and that they had two children. So here it is again.
Boy, Larry, this next story is really going to stir up some controversy.
Absolutely. A lot of people will be talking about this. It's a new book making some shocking claims about the life of Jesus Christ. According to the Lost Gospel, Jesus married Mary Magdalene and they had two children. The authors even say they have evidence to back up their claims. ABC's Dan Harris has our story.
It's the controversial claim at the heart of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife.
And this morning, an explosive new interpretation of ancient texts agrees, saying Jesus Christ not only married prostitute Mary Magdalene, but also had two children with her.
The living descendant of Jesus Christ. Would she destroy faith, or would she renew it?
See, that's the movie Tom Hanks did. It's called The Da Vinci Code. And again, this is just... Who is promoting this? Who's putting this out there? The Roman Catholic Church. Now, you don't know that because they're not going to tell you that, but that's who's doing it.
The Lost Gospel, due out this Wednesday, authors argue that the original Virgin Mary was Jesus' wife, not his mother, and that there was an assassination attempt on Jesus' life 13 years before he was crucified. These are allegations that are bound to be controversial, but also bound to get a lot of attention. The writers tell ABC News they spent 6 years working on the book, basing their arguments on an ancient manuscript dating back nearly 1,500 years, one they say they found in a British library, translating the text from an Aramaic dialect into English.
I don't think that there's any credibility in these claims at all. That there is simply no evidence in this text or anywhere else that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, much less that they had a couple of children.
This is not the first assertion that Jesus was married. A fragment of an ancient Egyptian papyrus known as the Gospel of Jesus' Wife was unveiled in 2012, containing the phrase, "Jesus said to them, 'My wife,'" although the document was written centuries after Jesus died.
The difficulty is that when those claims were investigated, it became pretty clear fairly quickly that what we were looking at was in fact a modern forgery.
For Good Morning America, Dan Harris, ABC News, New York.
Thank you, Dan. And the authors maintain they have made this giant discovery. They will display the original manuscript they found at a press conference later this week and will announce the names of Jesus' alleged children.
Yeah, one of his children might be J. Delano Ellis, because J. Delano Ellis claims that he is a descendant of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, this, again, when I was ordained in the Pentecostal church, and I've been ordained several times because, again, I was ordained first as an exhorter, then I was ordained as a licensed minister, then I was ordained as a ordained minister. So from exhorter to licensed minister to ordained minister. And each one of my consecrations or ordinations, however you want to term them, no one ever said to me that I was a descendant of Jesus Christ. No one. This just tells you who J. Delano Ellis represents. We are not descendants of Jesus Christ. We are not descendants of Thomas the Apostle. We're just not. We are not. And so, you see, he's using, and when I say he, J. Delano Ellis is using Roman Catholic language, as we have seen him do time and time again in this audio. For example, I pointed out how it's just easy to say, anoint him with oil. But he won't use the word oil. He uses the Catholic word chrism. That's the word that he chooses to use, chrism. Now, when in the black church have you ever heard the preacher say, "Get me the chrism"? Never. It's always been, "Fetch me the bottle of oil. I need to anoint the sick with oil." That you've always heard that. You'd never heard the word chrism. But again, this is J. Delano Ellis introducing these words, and one of the words embedded in here was, "You are a descendant of Jesus Christ." Let me play that for you again.
Hallelujah. Let your hand be on him, Lord. Cover him with your blood. Point your hand this way. Every bishop, point your right hand at least this way. Lord. Hallelujah. Walk. Don't knock the shine off of them. Just anoint them. Bishop Scales, thou art called of God. And we believed the recommendation and received the report. We lay hands on you now. We touch your head. We pass on to you apostolic succession, the blessedness that comes with this office. A descendant of Jesus Christ and of one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas.
Now, he doesn't explain, he doesn't make clear, he doesn't elaborate what does he mean by descendant of Jesus Christ. But you see, ambiguity is the mother of heresy. This is why as preachers, we need to clarify everything we say. We need to be clear when we speak. And he's using the word descendant. Well, I'm a descendant of my father and of my grandfather and of my great-grandfather. In fact, let me read to you out of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. You see that? Let me read verse 3 again, Romans 1:3. Paul is clear. He says, now, Jesus, God spoke concerning his son Jesus, our Lord, which was made of the flesh according to the seed of David. Now, look, saints, look. Jesus could trace his genealogy back. Now, we're talking about, remember, Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is God who became incarnate. But in his makeup, in his nature of human, his human nature, he can trace himself back to David and, of course, back to Abraham. So let me read that again. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, which means he proceeded from the genetic loins, from the DNA, he has the DNA makeup, according to David, according to the flesh. So Jesus was a descendant of David, a descendant, okay, according to the flesh. Now, let me take you now to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2:8, it says, remember, this is Paul writing, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, in other words, he was a descendant of David according to his human nature. Now, when Dave Delano Ellis says that a bishop who is being consecrated is a descendant of Jesus Christ, it infers and implies that like David, Jesus had to get married, Jesus had to have a wife, and Jesus had to have children. But that, no. The Son of God never got married. The Son of God never took on a wife. The Son of God never had children. We cannot be descendants. We cannot be descendants of Jesus Christ. He had no wife. He never got married. He never had children. This is Roman Catholic, saints. Even though Jay Delanus is quite, listen, he puts it out there, but he never gets specific. We have to admit, he never gets specific. Now, in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, you say, but aren't we the seed of Christ in the spirit? No. Look what Paul says in Galatians 3:29. He says, and if ye be Christ, if you belong to Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, my brothers and sisters, we are Abraham's spiritual seed. It never says that we are Christ's spiritual seed. We are Abraham. Listen, but are we the seed of Christ? No, we're not the seed of Christ. Again, let me read it. It says, if ye be in Christ, if we're born again believers, if we're born from above, if we're born of the Spirit, then, Paul says, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's where we get our spiritual connection from Abraham, the father of all who believe. So again, here's J. Delano Ellis talking about how we are descendants of Jesus. And I would like to interview him and say, sir, can you explain to us how we are descendants of Jesus Christ? Well, it is not to say that Jesus Christ ever got married, and is not to say that Jesus Christ ever had children. No, I would never say that. But we are his spiritual descendants. Well, you're going to have a problem, Mr. Ellis. You're going to have a problem because the Bible doesn't even say that. It says that we are, if we are in Christ, if we belong to Christ, we then are Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's spiritual descendants. But here's J. Delano Ellis again, explaining how we proceed from Jesus, and then some way miraculously, not only are we descendants of Jesus, but we're also descendants of Thomas. I don't get that.
That comes with this office. A descendant of Jesus Christ and of one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. Hallelujah.
Well, that we can't be descendants of both. No, you can't. Thomas and Jesus were contemporaries, so you can't be descendants of both. Now, Thomas had children. We know Thomas had children, but Jesus had no children, and no black bishop can trace himself back to Thomas. This is stupid. So there's no way that you can explain that and have it make any sense. All right, now we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end because now I want you to see where J. Delano Ellis now continues. He picks up again where he left off about us being descendants of Jesus and descendants of Thomas. And now he goes on to give Mr. Scales his parchment showing from who he descends. So let's listen to this.
You got to sign that other one too, the big one.
And of course, now the bishops are signing the parchments.
Thank you. Give me the certificate of consecration. You show that to the people. Certificate of consecration. This testimony is granted to the Most Reverend Jonathan Lafayette Scales, Presbyter of the Church of God. You've been called to work together with bishops and fellow presbyters as a prelate. It's not prelate, it's prelate. Priest, prophet, and teacher. And to share in the councils of the whole church throughout the world. Now, in accordance with the canons of the Rhema Christian Center of Columbus, Ohio, and the network of local churches, you've been selected to serve the church as a prelate, and we did call witnesses to Cleveland, Ohio, in the United States, to ordain and consecrate you to the sacred office of Bishop Primus, meaning presiding bishop, for the network of local churches headquartered in Columbus, Ohio.
In other words, lobotomized Scales is now the head donkey of his little empire. That's all. Episcopus Primus simply means head donkey. He gets to bray more. He gets to kick more. He gets to hee-haw more than all the other donkeys in his organization. He's a head donkey, which means he gets most of the molasses, most of the Timothy hay, most of the wheats, and most of the oats. When the donkeys come to eat, he gets a double portion of Timothy hay, molasses, a carrot, a couple of carrots, a couple of apples, because donkeys like apples and they like carrots. So he gets a double portion. That's all that means.
And the rest, you read later. I'm tired of reading. Let me give you the answer back.
Now, here comes the one we want to focus on. This is the document that we want to focus on, and I want to show you how this is anti-Pauline, anti-Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit that inspired Paul to write what Paul wrote to Timothy and what Paul wrote to Titus. Paul wrote those epistles. He wrote every one of his epistles under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So here is J. Delano Ellis talking about the second parchment that has to do with genealogies. Let us listen.
And the last one is the certificate of apostolic succession. It has his genealogy.
What does it have? His genealogy. What does it have? His genealogy. What does it have? His genealogy. Let's listen again.
Let me give you the end of that. And the last one is the certificate of apostolic succession. It has his genealogy from Jesus Christ and Thomas and Haggai. Didn't we read some of them?
Yes, we did.
We read some of them. Haggai, Bartholomew the apostle, one of the 70 commissioned by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. These are all the people who laid hands on whom to get down to Lafayette scale. 2,000 years worth of names.
2,000 years worth of names. 2,000 years worth of endless names. I want you to listen to that again. Listen. Saints, I'm just trying to educate. I'm sorry if I'm being redundant. I'm sorry if I keep playing this audio, but you need to hear it out of the mouth of the chief jackass of the Joint College of Asinine Heehorn Bishops, J. Delano Ellis himself, who isn't talking these days because he suffered a stroke and he's laid up somewhere in some barn, paralyzed, only can move half his body. Only half his body can move. He's not eating that much Timothy hay these days, not a lot of oats these days. He's laid up somewhere. But I want you to, when back in March, when he was hee-hawing real good, I want you to listen to what he's got to say, because this is very, very relevant. This is very important. And I want you to, that's why I took my time to bring this stuff down for you, because I want to show you how it's antithetical to the teachings of the apostles and Christ. Here it is.
And the last one is the certificate of apostolic succession. It has his genealogy from Jesus Christ and Thomas and Haggai. Didn't we read some of them?
Yes, we did.
We read some of them. Haggai, Bartholomew the apostle, one of the 70 commissioned by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. These are all the people who laid hands on whom to get down to Lafayette scale. 2,000 years worth of names. And I tell you what, I'll give you a dollar if you can read all these names and read them right. You ain't going to do it tonight. You ain't going to do it.
What a cheapskate, a dollar. Wow, what a cheapskate. This guy's rolling in millions of dollars, and he's only going to give a kid a dollar. What a cheapskate. You need to add to that inflation. It was a dollar in your day, not a dollar anymore. All right, what is genealogy? He said genealogies, okay. The word genealogy comes from the Greek word genealogia, which signifies a list of our ancestors, a description of the stock, the lineage, or pedigree of any person or family. Let me repeat that again. Genealogy comes from the Greek word genealogia, which signifies a list of our ancestors, a description of the stock, lineage, or pedigree of any person or family. That's what a genealogy is. Now, we know that St. Paul condemns genealogies. He condemns it. He said, no. In establishing the church, he says to Timothy and to Titus, don't get involved in genealogies. Now, doesn't it shock you that J. Delano Ellis claims to be a successor of the apostles and that he claims to be a successor of Christ, and yet he goes contrary to the teaching of Christ and the apostles? Paul condemns the use of genealogies. Paul looks upon genealogies as being useless and vain. They serve no purpose other than to engender pride. They edify no one. And this being because the only genealogy that mattered was the genealogy of Christ. It had to prove that Christ was of the seed of David, of the seed of Abraham, and of the seed of the woman. If you trace Christ back, you can trace Christ back to David, then from David to Abraham, from Abraham to Noah, and from Noah back to Eve. That's the whole purpose of genealogy. Once Christ came, and because his genealogy is the only one that matters. Once Christ came, was born, and died, away with genealogies. So, let me read to you, because you're saying, where are those scriptures where Paul condemns genealogies? Well, go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First, this is what you call one of the pastoral epistles, one of the epistles. To the young, a young bishop named Timothy. This was a young bishop, and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they would teach no other doctrine. I left you in Ephesus, that you would charge some to teach no other doctrine than that which you have received from me." Verse 4, he says, "Now, Timothy, do not give heed to fables." Don't give heed to fables which are made of stories, like the one about Jesus and Mary Magdalene having kids, getting married, having a house with a white picket fence. Don't believe the fables. And also, Timothy, I told you not to give heed to endless genealogies. 2,000 years of names. Timothy, I told you to stay away from endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. He says to Timothy, don't bother with endless genealogies. But here's J. Delano Ellis. He claims to be a successor of the apostles and of Christ, and yet he does the opposite of what the apostles of Christ recommends. Paul says, do not give heed to endless genealogies, and J. Delano Ellis is willing to give some kid a buck if he can read all the names in that 2,000-year-old list. It's an endless genealogy, an endless list of names that don't mean a hill of beans. Here is J. Delano Ellis.
The certificate
of apostolic succession. It has his genealogy from...
What does it have? His genealogy. It's an endless genealogy. It is a genealogy that is 2,000 years old. It goes back from Lafayette scales all the way back supposedly to Thomas and to Jesus. You know how many names are in a 2,000-year-old list? It's endless, an endless amount of names. An endless amount of names. And Paul told us to stay away from endless genealogies because all they do is engender questions. Questions that nobody's going to be able to answer because nobody was way back there 1,500 years ago. Nobody. Now, in Titus chapter 3, verse 9, this is another bishop. This is the bishop of Crete. His name is Titus. Paul says to him in verse 9 of chapter 3, but avoid foolish questions. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies. Stay away from genealogies. But here's J. Delano Ellis again.
Great you to the sacred office of Bishop Primus, meaning presiding bishop, for the network of local churches headquartered in Columbus, Ohio. And the rest, you read late. I'm tired of reading. One, the certificate of apostolic succession. It has his genealogy from Jesus Christ and Thomas and Haggai. Didn't we read some of them?
Yes, we did.
We read some of them. Haggai, Bartholomew the apostle, one of the 70 commissioned by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. These are all the people who laid hands on whom to get down to Lafayette scale. 2,000 years worth of names. Now, I tell you what, I'll give you a dollar if you can read all these names and read them right. You ain't gonna do it tonight. You ain't gonna do it tonight. I'll just mail you a dollar later. There's your certificate of apostolic succession.
Don't hold your breath, kid. Don't hold your breath. This guy's a cheapskate. All right. Alexander Cruden, the great scholar, the great British scholar, Alexander Cruden, in his Concordance of the Bible. What a great scholar this man was. Concerning genealogies, this is what he says. This is what Cruden says. He says, this study, the study of genealogies, he says, this study was of great use before the Messiah came, that it might be known distinctly of what tribe and family the Messiah was born. But the Messiah now being come, this study is vain. Though still the Jews are addicted to it. In other words, once Jesus came, we didn't care any more about genealogies because it all ended with Jesus. That's the only one we were waiting for. It had to be proven that he was of the seed of David. It had to be proven that he was of the seed of Abraham. It had to be proven that he was of the seed of Noah. It had to be proven that he was of the seed of Eve. We have to trace Jesus back to David, to Abraham, to Noah, to Eve, because he had to be of the seed of the woman, as God said in Genesis 3:15. Having proven that, we don't need to have any more genealogies. That's why Paul says nobody's genealogy but Jesus matters. We don't need to keep any more records. We don't need to keep any more names. That is a vain study. It leads to nothing because, again, out of the trillions of genealogies in the world, only one mattered, and that was of Christ. And now that we know where he came from, and now we know where from whom he descended, all other studies on other genealogies is just worthless. Now, if you want to know, if you want to go to Ancestry.com and find out where you came from, knock yourself out. Spend the $50 and find out, you know, I'm 40% this and 30% that and 2% this. And you knock yourself out if you want to know. But I can tell you, we all come from Noah. Noah is the second father of mankind. And we all go back to Adam, who's the first father of mankind. I know exactly who I come from. I come from Noah, who came from Adam. I don't need to go on Ancestry. I can settle my genealogy real quick. We all come from Noah, and we all come from Adam. That's it. I don't need to spend $50 to find out my percentages. I'm 100% sinful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am 100% Adamic in nature. It was the first Adam that plunged our race into sin, and it was the second Adam who redeemed us. That's it. It's over. But J. Delano Ellis wants you to do contrary to what Paul said. Paul said to the bishops, don't focus on endless genealogies. And here comes J. Delano Ellis 2,000 years later as an apostate peddler of Rome, and he's telling you to focus on endless genealogies. Who are you going to believe, saints? Who are you going to believe? So my recommendation to you is stay away from J. Delano Ellis. Stay away from this man. He's wicked. He's a wicked man. He's a peddler of error, a great peddler of error. Stay away from him. And saints, if you got some leads, if you got some names, if you got some addresses, if you got some emails for some bishops, send all that information to me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Let me start sending out postcards of the book Jackass Bishops to the bishops. And my brothers and sisters, let's start a revival in the church today. Love you much. I'll be back on Thursday with a new series. I'm starting a new series on Thursday, a series you don't want to miss. I hope and pray that this series was helpful. And don't forget, don't bypass broadcast number 7, broadcast number 8. Love you much in Jesus. God bless.
Mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe, his craft and power are great. And armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his evil. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. Thank you. triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.